Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. I hope you are excited to get into God's Word. We are in the book of James. We've been going through a series, and we are on to chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Last week, we dealt with the few verses before that. Verses 13 through 18 are a section, and we handled the first section of that. Last time, we handled the first half of that. And today we get to handle the easier side, the nicer side, the truth side of that section. So last week, what we talked about was that God does not tempt anyone. He says, let no one say when he is tempted that God is tempting me, for God does not tempt anyone, nor is he tempted by anything. So God is not the one, he's not the source of our temptation. What is the source of our temptation is ourself, our flesh, our own lusts, our own desires, those. That is where our temptation comes from. And so don't blame God for the things that you are tempted for. He's not bringing that to you. He's not the source of that. And then it says that when your lust conceives, it gives birth to sin, and then sin causes death. And that is death both in your life in general, the things that are going on, your relationships, the well-being of your life that you have, but also eternal death as well, damnation and in hell. And that's what is the end of the line of lust. Lust goes to sin and then on to death. So that's the downside, that's the negative side. But today we get to talk about the positive side. So that's fun. We get to talk about the truth here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do three flyovers of our text. We're going to handle this text three different times. The first time, we're just going to get a general overview. We're going to get basic idea of what he's going to say in these three verses. The second time, we're going to go through a little bit more detail and give you kind of a closer picture of what it is. And then the third flyover, we want to learn what's our response to this text. What's our response to what James is saying, what God has for us. So that's what we're going to do. And then we have an activity. Going to have a fun activity at the end. So you get an activity today. All right. Go back to kindergarten. We got an activity. All right. Here is our verses for today. We are again, James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. It says this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. All right, so let's do our quick overview here. First off, don't be deceived, right? He's referring back to the lie that we talked about last time, that when you are tempted, don't say God is tempting you. That's a lie. He's not the one that's tempting you. That's not the source. So don't be deceived. And then he moves on into what is the truth. God doesn't give you bad things. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In other words, God is the source of our goodness. He's the source of our gifts. Everything that we've received is from him. So God doesn't give us things like temptation. He doesn't give us things like evil. He doesn't give us things like sin. He doesn't give us things like death. He gives us good things. Then he talks about with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's talking about God there. And what he's saying there is that God doesn't change. His character doesn't change. It's the same today, yesterday, forever. Amen. He is the same. And then he goes on and talk about the biggest gift that we've ever received. It says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. This is kind of a double reference both to our creation and our recreation, our birth and our rebirth. So the fact that you're alive and the fact that you have been saved, both of them together. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. So, don't be deceived. God gives you good things, not bad things. And in fact, he gave us life itself and salvation. So we should be remembering that and focused on that rather than anything else. All right, that was our first flyover. Let's do our second flyover now and dive in a little deeper into our text here and get some more nuggets out of this wonderful passage. Verse 16 again, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Again, this is coming from a heart of love. This is coming from family, right? My beloved brethren. He's viewing these people, you are my family and I love you, I care for you. This is why I'm telling you these things. This is where this is coming from, is because I care about you so much. You are in my heart, I love you. So please pay attention to what I'm saying. And here's a summary, don't be deceived. If you wanted to summarize James, this would be a pretty good summary. This would capture a lot. Don't be deceived. Don't follow the lies. There's all sorts of lies that he's talking about in this book. Don't buy into that. The truth is going to set you free. The truth is where goodness is. That's where God is, and he wants to give that to you. So don't be deceived. Don't follow the flesh. Don't listen to these lies that are there for you. Because I love you. And that leads to death when you go after those lies. So follow life into this truth here. To love, this is something for us here. To love is to expose lies. That's what you're supposed to do. Loving another entails exposing the lies that they believe. And loving another entails proclaiming the truth to them, okay? So, as we are loving each other, if you want to be a Christian and to do what he has told you to do, to love one another, one of the things that means is exposing lies that your brothers and sisters believe. Because they're killing them. Lies will kill them. They are going to destroy what God has created in their life. And you, if you love them, don't want to see that destruction come. So you need to be able to expose, in gentleness and love, the lies that they're believing and put in the truth. Proclaim the truth to them. That is loving. I'm a father. I don't want my daughter growing up to believe in lies, especially ones that will hurt them. Right now, like her imaginary play, that's not hurting her. It's imaginary, right? But when she gets older and she's starting to be told that what she looks like is important and that guys only want sex and that's the only thing that you're important for, that's a lie and that's destructive. And for me to love my daughter, I need to show those, that's a lie, sweetie. Kendi, that's a lie. And here's the truth. God's made you. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. That's not where you're. Value lies. Now, as a congregation, we need to be able to do this to each other. We need to be able to expose lies, like James is doing here, and then proclaim the truth. All right, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. Again, this is a gift. This is a given. This is something that is received, not taken. This isn't something that is earned. This is a gift. So, good and perfect, those are kind of two different categories. There is good and also complete and wholeness. And whether you have something that is both or one or the other, all of those, if you have any of that, it came from God. There is nothing that you have that is good or perfect or complete that did not have an origin in God himself. Everything that you have, every gift that is perfect and good comes from him. There is no good thing that you have received that has not originated from God himself. Goodness can flow to you through many streams, people, possessions, virtues, events, and so on, but always has but one source, and that is God. You can get blessings and you can get goodness from all sorts of places, but all of those are going to originate and start from God himself. Here's a deception. Satan, he likes to give gifts that appear good. He likes to give you that lure that we talked about last time. He likes to give you those things that look good. But they're really cheap forgeries lacking a true essence of virtue. That's what they are. Satan's gifts are hemorrhaging piles of wickedness wrapped in blessing paper. That's what that is. You got this hemorrhaging pile of wickedness, and he just slaps on, hey, look, it looks like blessing. It looks like a gift. Look what I did here. Looks awesome. It's wolf's and sheep's clothing, right? That's going to devour you. That's going to tear you apart. That lure with the bait on it looks good, but that's going to take you to death. So God is going to give you blessing. He gives you gifts. He gives you all those good things that you have. Now, let's not forget the context of this passage. These people are in exile. There is trials in this life. There are difficult things that we're going to go through. But God promises to give us good things in this life. Namely, what is he giving us? What does he promise to give us? An increasing character that looks like him. That is the promised blessing to any believer anywhere. In this life, you will have an increasing character if you obey God and do what he has told you to do. Some of you and some of us have also received other blessing as well, and all those come from God as well. But our promise right now is increased character. And our promise for the future is blessing in every way that you could possibly imagine and beyond that. So, let's remember the context of this when we say every good thing is coming from him. He's not promising that I'm going to get a Lamborghini. God didn't promise me that. I'm not going to get a McMansion somewhere in Barbados. That's not what God has promised here. But the good things that I've gotten, the good things that I've received, my wife, my family, on and on, being here at this church, they have originated from God himself. God promises to bless your character now and to bless everything else when we meet in glory. So, don't get upset with God for not giving you now what he clearly promised you would receive later. All right? Don't get mad at him that he's not giving you now what he hasn't promised that you'll receive now, but you'll receive later on. All right, coming down from the Father of Lights. Note the relationship, right? God is above. This is coming from above and coming down to us. God is above us. He's far beyond us. He is way above us. But he condescends down to us to give us good gifts because he loves us. There's a reference here to the Father of Lights here that's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, all of those things. He is the father of those. He is the creator. God is the creator of life itself. Without the sun, without even the moon, life would not be able to exist the way it does. God has created these things for life to exist, but also for our enjoyment and our amazement. He is the creator of those things, as he is the creator of us. So, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow. But although he has created these things, he is not like them. He does not have variation. He does not have a shifting shadow. The idea there is the constellations and how they move. We know that the earth rotates and that causes the constellations to appear like they're moving. But God's not like that. He's not rotating. The moon has different seasons that it goes through. Half moon, quarter moon, et cetera, full moon. No shifting shadow. God is not like that. His character is the same. Who he is and what he is like is the same forever. It cannot change. That doctrine is called God's immutability, his unchangeability. So because God is immutable, we are assured of what his character is like. We know exactly what his character is like because he doesn't change. And so we can look back at God's faithfulness in the past and what he's given to us and given to other people, and we can use that and say God is the same today as well. He will be giving us blessing as well. He will keep his promises. He will be faithful. That's who he is. That's what he has always been. God does not drift like the stars, nor wax like the moon. God is the ever steady light of life. That's what our God is like. He gives good things. He's not going to change. That's not going to happen. So don't follow that lie that's saying, oh, God was good, but now he's not. God was good to me in my early teens, but now that I'm older, now God's not good because life is hard. No, God is the same. He is the light that will never change. In fact, this is fantastic. So in Revelation, they're talking about what heaven is going to be like. What the heavenly city is going to be like, the New Jerusalem. When God and man, God and the saints, they meet in glory, what is that going to be like? He's describing that here in Revelation 21, verse 22 and 23. It says this about the city. Pay attention to this. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. That's who our God is. He is the source of life. He is the source of light, and he does not change. That will not change. And when we get to heaven, we don't need a sun, man. We don't even need a moon. God's glory itself will be our light. And we will bask in that for eternity. Because God does not change, we can remember his faithfulness in the past and thereby anchor our hearts to the truth during our current turmoil. We have an anchor right now, and that's God's character and what he has demonstrated in the past. So then he goes into the climax of what God has given us, the apex, the zenith of what he's given us, creation and salvation. Again, I said that he's going to be talking about both similarly. God's creation of us mirrors his recreation of us. Our original being birthed physically and our spiritual rebirth both have some similar things that happen to it. So he starts out the verse saying, in the exercise of his will. That's in the NASB. This is a very, very tough thing to translate. If you look at different translations, they all have something different. And so let me go through a few of them. NASB has, in the exercise of his will. And the NET Bible has, by his sovereign plan. The ESV and the King James say, of his own will. And the NIV just goes, he chose. So we've got a wide range. It's one word in Greek. And essentially it means he willed it to happen. In the context of his will, this happened. So this is happening by God's choice, by his choosing, by his predetermined plan. He is sovereign, and he says, I want this to happen, and so it does. He brought us forth. God brought us to life. That's literally what that means. It's again, the birth analogy, right? It's saying he has birthed us and given us birth, both in creation and in recreation. Note the parallel here, right? He's talking about a lie earlier. Here's a lie. Lust gives birth to sin. Sin gives birth to death. Now we have God in his will gives us birth to life and blessing and gifts and goodness. And most importantly, our salvation. God has, when you talk about God, what does God birth? He births salvation. He births life. And so we don't want to go after the lie. We don't want to focus on the lie there. We want to focus on what the truth is. He has given us life. And let's remember that. And let's thank him for that. How did he bring us forth? By the word of truth. Again, parallel with creation and recreation. Word of truth there. If you remember creation, God speaks and there's nothing, and all of a sudden, there's everything. God just speaks. The analogy isn't using the hands. God is even above that. He just speaks. He wills it, and it happens. It's like one of those imaginary stories where someone just has a magic wand, and they think something, and it happens. All of a sudden, poof, there it is. That's the way God is. He has that level of power where he thinks it, and it comes to being. Now, word of truth. Who is the word of truth? Christ. Christ is the word, right? Remember John talking about that? Christ speaks the word. He tells us what the truth is. He proclaims the gospel. And he lives the life for us. And through our acceptance and faith of that, we receive salvation. We receive spiritual life. We're having this double parallel thing happening. We're talking about creation and recreation at the same time. So, here's what he says. So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Why did God birth us? Why did he give us recreation? Why did he give us rebirth? So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Have you ever thought about this? You are experiencing the first, you are among the first to experience regeneration. God promises that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All of this is going to be destroyed. All of this around us, it's going to burn up. God's going to destroy it, and he's going to create a new thing. The only beings in existence in creation that have experienced any inkling of the regeneration
are the saints that have had their souls regenerated. We've had our spirits regenerated. We have been rebirthed. All right? If you look at the animal kingdom, death, disease, fighting, destruction. You look at the weather patterns. There's a lot of destruction there, right? You look at our lives, and you look at outside the church, and sometimes inside the church, destruction, right? Death. But we are the first fruits. We are the first ones that have experienced any kind of regeneration. And we are a light to those that have not seen that, that they can have that as well. This is why it's so important to be obedient. Without us being obedient, no one else sees. They don't see regeneration. They don't see God's blessing. They don't see the life that God has created. Why would they want to go to anything that looks like death? We have to be obedient for this. We are the first fruits of God's recreation. All right. That is our second flyover. Now, third flyover, real quick, I want to talk about how do we respond? How do you respond to this? God's given you good things. How should we respond? Well, accept two things. Accept, number one, accept and live by the truth. That's what you should do. He's telling you the truth. Accept it and live by it. Number two, we should accept God's gifts. So, truth, God has given you blessing. God has given you in this life so much blessing. Think about your life. Think about your family. Think about those that you love. Think about the job that you have or the hobbies that you like or any number of things. You live in America. Just simply think about that and all the blessings that come from that. God has given you lots of blessing. So accept that truth and live by it. He's also promised eternal blessing beyond your imagination. Think about that. Think about, try to think past what you can imagine to what kind of blessing you could get. What God has in store for you. That's the truth. He's promised that. So, accept that truth. Secondly, accept his gifts. Receive them. It's okay. Go ahead. Take the gifts that God has given you. Now, how do we do that? There are proper ways to do that, improper ways to do that. I tried to find a video. Couldn't find an exact video of the right analogy of what to use, but one that was close was there was a boy, and there were a couple boys, and their parents were telling them that they were going to have another sibling. I don't know if it was a brother or sister, and so they said, "Hey, we have a surprise gift for you. We're going to give you a surprise gift." And then they said, "Hey, you're going to have a brother or a sister or a sibling, whatever it was," and the kid goes, "That's not a gift. That's not a surprise. Come on, that's not a gift." Ah, he's all upset, right? This boy's like, "I don't want another brother. I got this one already," and it's terrible, right? That's not the way that you want to accept gifts, right? That's not the way you do this, okay? So when God gives you the gifts, there was another one. I had Willie look for some videos, and we just couldn't find one. She found one, though, where a girl gets a car for her birthday. And the dad's all excited, like, "I got my daughter. I'm the dad of year, right? Dad of the year. I should get that prize because I just got my daughter a car." And she's like, "It's the wrong color." "You got a car. We can paint the car." The dad's going, "We can paint the car. It's okay." So there are wrong ways to accept gifts, and there are right ways to accept gifts. So how are the proper way to accept a gift is humbly, gratefully, and joyfully, all right? Humbly, gratefully, and joyfully. That's how you accept a gift. Humbly because you are receiving a gift you did not earn. You don't go walking in all proud like you would into your boss. "Give me my money," right? That's what you do when your wages are due. You don't do that when you receive a gift. Go in humbly. Gratefully, because this person intentionally gave you the gift out of their love for you. Don't be ungrateful. Be grateful they gave you this. And joyfully, because they deserve to see you pleased by the gift that they intended to please you with. You owe them that, right? Like, be joyful that they gave you a gift. They're trying to please you. So, all of that is spelled out really well in Psalms 100, and we're going to in just a second, we're going to let you guys practice that in our activity. So let me read first Psalm 100. Notice how the psalmist here is humble, grateful, and joyful. Humble, grateful, and joyful in the way that he talks here. This is Psalm 100, if you want to follow along, verses 1 through 5. It's the whole psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, right? Humility, serving. Come before him with joyful singing, joy. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Humility again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, gratefulness, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Humble, grateful, joyful. Now it's your turn. Now we get to do an activity. All right, so if you have your bulletin, if you open that up, like I am right now, you have a page of sermon notes, but then you also have a page where it says, my good and perfect gifts from above. Willie did this one. This was Willie's idea. So the verse says, every good and perfect gift. Willie's saying, my perfect gift. My good and perfect gift. So what you're going to do is you're going to take some time and you're going to think about what God has done for you. And you're going to start making a list of God's blessings. My wife and I have done this, not perfectly or consistently, but a few times, a few years, we've done this well in certain years. We got a jar and we'd write little strips of paper. And so anytime God gave us something, anytime there was any kind of provision, we called it our provision jar. So I would write out, God gave us whatever it is, whatever it is. We had our daughter, and our daughter was healthy. My mom was able to be there for the birth, et cetera, et cetera. So mine are in red, Amy's are in purple, and we put them in a jar, and we have that year's provision. We call it our provision jars. And we haven't done it in a while, and we need to get back to it. But you get an opportunity now to start doing something similar. It's been a good idea for us. Feel free to do it. I'm not saying you have to do that. But for today, I want you to practice really thinking through what God has done for you, what God has given you. I want you to be joyful about this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start by you being humble. So I want you to pray silently to God and ask him to reveal to you things that he has done for you. So that's step one. You're going to pray, be humble. Step two, you're going to be grateful. You're going to start just thinking through all the different things that God has done for you. To write as many, whatever, it could be a simple thing. It could be a big thing. It could be something from yesterday or the past. Whatever it is, I want you to write those out and write down as many as you can think of. And then third, I want us to be joyful about it. And you get to share your list with somebody else that you trust. So if you don't trust anybody here, that's okay. We'll let you give a pass. But for the rest of us, you get to share some of your list. And, you know, don't share your whole list if there's things that should be kept secret. But share what you feel comfortable sharing with each other and be joyful about it. Ready to go. We're going to go for about 10 minutes, and then the band will come up at 10:55. And we will finish up. If you need a bulletin or a pen, please raise your hand and we will get you one. So now's a good time. If you have gotten some things together, go ahead and start sharing around with each other. Go ahead and make it joyful. Let's get a little loud in here. Let's have a good time. All right, let's be a little joyful. And if you're still writing and you'd rather write, you're free to do that. That's okay. Just tell people to leave you alone. Go ahead and share.